Good morning, everybody. This is our esoteric astrology adventure number 49. And somehow some downloads have just begun, so I hope that this does not compromise our audio quality. We have reached page 105 in the book, and we have been discussing the exaltations, detriments, and falls of the planets in the sign Aries. Okay, and those planets particularly are the Sun, not really a planet, but considered as such, the Sun, Venus, representing the solar angel, which is overcome at length by the father aspect that the Sun in exaltation represents. And then there is Saturn that falls in Aries in two ways. It falls down into the lower planes of the cosmic physical plane, there to administer karma, and it falls away as the individual enters the cardinal cross. Now, let's see what we have. There is much that could be elaborated along this line, says the Tibetan, but the above will give a hint as to the esoteric significance of these three happenings within every sign, that is, an exaltation, a detriment, and a fall. As for rulership, D.K. seems to describe these quite extensively. They can indicate much concerning the man whose horoscope is under consideration, and perhaps that is the spiritual opportunity presented to the individual, as long as we know something about the place at which he stands. It does us no good to speak of the average individual who has the Sun in Aries as experiencing the opportunity of the emergence of the monad or father aspect. That Venus is in detriment does not indicate that such an individual is ready for the fading out of the solar angel, because so much has been accomplished in the realm of the soul. As for Saturn in Aries, one of the interpretations that Saturn cannot follow a man onto the cardinal cross would not apply, because the people with whom we are dealing, and ourselves as well, are not at all ready to enter the cardinal cross. But the fall of Saturn into the lower worlds, where karma is administered, the way Saturn follows a man down into the lower three worlds, that particular fall, the interpretation could apply. The decanates can also be dealt with in two ways, according to the direction in which man is traveling upon the wheel, and therefore entering the sign, and he is speaking in symbols, and therefore entering the sign, speaking in symbols. It all depends how one responds to this, to the various decanates. If he enters Aries when on the common cross, he will come under the influence of Mars, Sun, and Jupiter, according to Safariel. Safariel's method of assigning the decanates has to do with the orbital period, and here he's working his way, let's see, Mars, the Sun, and Jupiter. That's interesting. I'll have to check that in my list of decanates. Usually he works his way out or in according to the period of the planet around the Sun. or around the Earth, rather, geocentrically considered. This means conflict, which is Mars, revelation, which has to do with the light of the sun, and the successful satisfaction of desire, which Jupiter always accords. And ambition, as the eons pass away. Ambition can be associated either with Mars, well, with any of these, really, Mars, Jupiter, or the Sun. When he reorients himself and mounts the fixed cross, the cross of the soul, he comes under the influence of Jupiter for the first decanate, the Sun for the second, and Mars. For the initiate and the disciple culminates his career in any of the signs with a final and dominant struggle, and this Mars represents a struggle and fight. I would remark here that Alan Leo had a glimpse of the inner significance of the decanates when he assigned Mars, the Sun, and Venus to the three decanates. Now, there Mars would be the first, the Sun second, and Venus would be the third. He touched the truth of the inner subjective reversal upon the wheel, which brings in other energies. And I think what I would like to do here is speak a little bit about the decanates. This is the opportunity to do so, and I have some other charts which should help in this respect. So let us look at some of the decanate assignments as they have been gathered over the years. We have here, well, first of all, let's review what has been said by Alan Leo and the manner in which it has been said. We have the Mars, Sun, and Jupiter according to Safarial, and here they are, Mars, Sun, and Jupiter according to Safarial. Let's see if I have, yes, there we, This is interesting. All right. Yes, it will be necessary to check this, because what I see has happened is that the Safarial method has been assigned to Alan Leo. I wonder if this is a mistake in the text. We usually have Safarial moving inward and outward according to orbital period. So the arrangement for Safarial would be Mars, Sun, and Venus according to the length of the orbits, and this would be followed according to length of orbit by Mercury and the Moon, and then we would go outward again to Saturn and move inward. This is the way Safarial operates. So Venus would technically be the ruler of the third decanate, i.e. the first decanate, on the reversing wheel. It's the ruler of the third decanate on the retrogressive wheel. So it would be Safarial and not Alan Leo who would be assigning Venus to that position. But this has to be sorted out, because I'm very hesitant to think that there are mistakes in this book, as the Tibetan did proofread this. We have the Alan Leo decanates as Mars, Sun, and Jupiter. And let's see, they are found here. Let's see if I... It's a little difficult to... Yes. Alan Leo, yes. Mars, Sun, and Jupiter. Mars, the ruler of Aries, the Sun, the ruler of Leo, so we're in the Leo decanate of Aries, and Jupiter, the ruler of Sagittarius. Yes, there's no question about it. According to the way a Safarial usually operates, The order would be Mars, Sun, and Venus. And according to the way Alan Leo usually operates, it would be Mars, Sun, and Jupiter. And we have to question why it appears to be other than that in the text. So what we generally have here is a description of this, is that with Sephariel, or with the wheel going backwards in the clockwise order, we would enter from the third decanate. Now, the third decanate for Alan Leo is Jupiter, and for Sephariel it's Venus. So that is Jupiter-Venus for the first... actually, we enter from 20 to 30 degrees. This is the way it operates. Okay. I've had to make a few changes here. I haven't reviewed this chart for quite a while, but suffice it to say that the average individual enters the sign in what we normally call the third decanate. And this is a chart to show that. The average individual on the wheel of form is entering under Mars as far as the third decanate rulership is concerned, and is proceeding towards the Sun in the second decanate, and finally ends up with Jupiter or Venus. Sephariel says Venus, as far as I can understand, and Alan Leo says Jupiter. But what Master D.K. tells us is that the first decanate for the disciple is really ruled by Jupiter, and he says that Alan Leo has the Venus insight with respect to the first decanate. But it's really, you know, it is Sephariel that certainly would indicate Venus. Let's see if we see here. In the larger sense, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Sephariel continues when he does the Taurus decanates to work with Mercury, the Moon, and Saturn. And then he comes back in with Jupiter. So that is correct. That is correct. And so Jupiter-Venus is ruling the first decanate for the disciple, the Sun the second decanate, and Mars is ruling the final decanate, giving a climaxing battle, we are told, in the sign for the initiate. As for the Alan Leo decanates, they are Mars for the first decanate, Sun for the second, and Jupiter for the third. So we have some doubling up here, doubling up in the decanates. Now, let us take a look at some of the extra zodiacal constellations that are associated with the various decanates. We have three constellations which are associated with Aries, and they are Cetus, the whale or the sea monster, implying the engulfing of the soul, the little fish, which has gone forth into matter, and which is again seeking form. So there is a tendency for the great subconscious forces to swallow or to engulf, and Jupiter can represent engulfment, to engulf the consciousness. Then there is Cassiopeia that rules associated with the second decanate, and that is the queen, and matter is on the throne in these early days, and the sense of self-importance and the Ahamkara principle, ruled by the Sun, is preeminent. So matter has not yet been dethroned. Matter is enthroned, as a matter of fact. And then in the final decanate, from 20 to 30 degrees, we have Perseus, the hero, the champion, who does save Andromeda, the soul. Now, Cetus, I think, correlates very well with Jupiter, Cassiopeia, the enthroned queen, with the Sun, and Perseus, the hero, under Mars. The thing with the study of the decanates is that we are moving backward and forward simultaneously, so in some cases it's difficult to assign a precise ruler to each decanate. Master DK has his own assignments, and oftentimes they are at variance with the Sepharial method, which is Chaldean in origin, and the Alan Leo method, which relates more to Indian astrology. For instance, one takes the triplicities, let us say, the fire triplicity, Aries, Leo, Sagittarius, and assigns in the following manner. The first 10 degrees of Aries are Aries sub Aries. The next 10 degrees, from 10 to 20, are Aries sub Leo. We're taking the second fire sign of the triplicity and making it the sub-ruler. And then the third decanate, from 20 to 30, we're taking the third sign of the fire triplicity, Sagittarius, and making the rulership Aries sub Sagittarius. And accordingly, the rulers are Aries sub Aries is Mars, because Mars is the ordinary ruler of Aries. Aries sub Leo is the Sun the ordinary ruler of Leo. And Aries sub Jupiter for Sagittarius, because the Aries Sagittarius decanate has Jupiter as the ruler of sub Sagittarius. Now, there really is something to be said for this system, regardless of the refinements that Master DK has added. When you look at the form of individuals who are born in these signs and these decanates, and I hope to get into some of the astro-rheological physiognomy and morphology, we will see that there is a strong resemblance to these orthodox rulers, Mars, Sun, and Jupiter, in the general form and bearing and expression of the individual. That which DK assigns tends to be, I think, a little more subjective, maybe a lot more subjective, and deal more with an esoteric factor rather than an exoteric formal factor, which, however, does reflect an esoteric truth. So the way we would have this is that on the wheel of, let's see, how would we look at this? On the wheel of consciousness, we have Jupiter, Venus, Venus, Jupiter for the first 10 degrees of the disciple, who is moving in the counterclockwise direction, the Sun, and then Mars. On the reversing wheel, we would have Mars, Sun, and Jupiter, and possibly Venus, because in the usual Sepharial system, Venus is the ruler of the third decanate, which, when reversed, turns out to be the first decanate. So some sort of Jupiter-Venus combination may be there. There seems to be truth to all of these. Sometimes DK points out that, okay, look, Sepharial or Leo has made a definite mistake, i.e. that the old Chaldean system, or that the Hindu system, or the system derived from India, are incorrect in specific places. But usually he seems to imply that there is a something to be said, some value for all the systems. Now, I tried to create a six-fold chart here, and I'll do my best to find it. This was done some long time ago. The idea here is that we're moving toward the green and toward the blue. I think you see that. The here we have, at least archetypally, a physical type of manifestation in the first decanate of the wheel of form. Now, the wheel of form enters backwards, so you're really going from 30 to 20 degrees. And Mars is the ruler. Although, you know, you can make a case for Jupiter being present here as well, and for the idea of engulfment in form. In the next decanate is associated particularly with the astral body and with a period of astral development, and the Sun is the ruler. Alan Leo says this, the Tibetan says this, and Sepharial says this. Then we reach what is the third decanate from the perspective of the wheel of form, but since we're going backwards, it's really 0 to 10 degrees. And from the Alan Leo perspective, it's Mars, Sun, Jupiter. From the Sephario perspective, it's Mars, Sun, Venus. Then that should be connected with mental development. I think what I will have to do, you know, I've got quite a bit on the decanates, and they would make a study in themselves. So I will not be able to perhaps discuss the entire chart here, but at least give some indications. This third decanate on the wheel of form is a time when the mind, per se, is emphasized. Now, I have an important caveat with respect to all of this. I'm speaking about an archetypal structure here. The first decanate of discipleship has the Jupiter given by the Tibetan, and Venus, which he seems to imply. We would have to reverse this direction. Since Venus is operative at the third decanate on the wheel of form, you begin where you leave off, the third decanate on the wheel of form. We begin with the first decanate on the wheel of consciousness. These two are often equivalent. And Venus, the solar angel, is found here. What we're really looking at is a decanate correlated with the integration of the personality. The next decanate, ruled by the sun, the source of illumination, is to be associated archetypally with the soul. And the final decanate is to be associated with the spirit aspect, with the monad aspect. And we have here a blue star. The green star tells us that we're on the personality path, and the blue star tells us we're on the spiritual path. Now, some astrologers have said that when the sun is located, if a person's on the wheel of form, let us say, and the sun is located, let us say, in the first decanate, it's definitely they're definitely passing through a stage when they're dealing with the etheric physical vehicle, per se. That they definitely have an astral emphasis on the wheel of form if their sun is in the second decanate. And they definitely have a mental emphasis if their sun is in the third decanate of the wheel of form. I would like to take exception to this and say that it is possible for different people who are at one of those stages of development, let's say the Lemurian stage, there are very few on the planet at the moment, who are strictly etheric physical beings, their sun can be in any of the decanates of Aries, any of the three. The majority of people are emotional, and I would say they can be born in any of the three decanates in Aries. Fewer are mental, and again, I would say they can be born in any of the decanates of Aries. We will see how this works out on the wheel of consciousness here, which begins with Jupiter, Venus, the sun, and then moves to Mars, as the Tibetan describes. And I would like to say that if you are born in the first decanate, it does not necessarily mean that you are struggling with issues of personality integration. You could be a soul-conscious individual. You could even be a spirit-conscious individual. If you're born in the second decanate and you are on the wheel of consciousness, which means you are a disciple or tending towards becoming an initiate, it does not necessarily mean that you are working with the soul energies. A person who is a spirit-conscious person, or even someone who is working with personality issues and integrating the personality and moving forward in that way, trying to align personality with soul, could still be born in the second decanate. And I think it becomes most obvious when you look at the third decanate. In the third decanate, supposedly, you are dealing with monadic and spirit issues, and there are so few people who are really doing that. We cannot say across the board that people who are born in the third decanate of Aries, i.e. from 20 degrees to 30 on the wheel of consciousness, are necessarily dealing with spirit and monadic issues. They could certainly be dealing with the alignment of the personality, with the soul, they could be dealing with soul issues. So I think we have to be very careful about that. But archetypally, at least, there is a tendency for these six decanates to correlate with the different parts of the human constitution, namely physical, astral, mental, personal, soul, and spirit. That's an archetypal correlation, but it cannot be forced. Now, in this chart, I've spoken quite a bit about the physical, emotional, mental, personal stages, and what I call a fourth stage, which begins with the reversal of the wheel. It's an aspirational stage. It's personal, and we are integrating under the soul. The third decanate is not strictly mental. I would call it mental-personal, the third decanate on the wheel of form. And let's go up here, and I'll show you what I mean. This third decanate on the wheel of form is mental-personal. And because the mental unit and the personality are so closely allied, so that when a person really begins to cultivate his lower mind, he is at once cultivating the personal side of his personality. But there's also an aspirational side to the personality, and there one is moving forward personally. Instead of simply indulging the personality, one is aligning the personality with the soul. So I've dealt with all this, but I don't want to get tedious about it. I think we're most interested in the wheel of consciousness, in which the 0 to 10 degrees is ruled according to the Tibetan by Jupiter, with Alan Leo having an insight about Venus there, and with the Sun representing 10 to 20 degrees, and the final 10 degrees represented by Mars. So if we have the discipleship person, we are ruled here we are ruled here in the first decanate by Jupiter. Now, there are three rulers of Aries, and at the different phases of development over the long course of human evolution, different planets will rule. Mars is ruling in the physical stage, the emotional stage, and the mental stage, which lasts a long, long time, many millions of years. When we begin to reverse the wheel and begin to orient ourselves towards the higher of the pairs of opposites, we are coming under the Mercury rulership. And so both for the aspiring personality and for the person who is truly the disciple soul, the soul incarnation as a disciple, Mercury is the esoteric ruler. And then when we're in the initiatic phase, when we're coming under the influence of the monad, then Uranus is the esoteric ruler, so the hierarchical ruler. So you see how I've done this. I've taken the six phases. You see, once I do this once, we will see how it can work for all the signs. I've taken the six phases of human development: etheric, physical, emotional, mental, mental-personal, that's the third one, then aspirational-personal, the reorienting personality, then the fifth phase, discipleship-soul, and then the sixth phase, initiatic, monad. And what I've done is I've used the following chart. This chart is on page 332, and I've referred to it before. And there it is, the three phases of human development: the undeveloped man, and I think we can consider him the personal man, the man who is heading towards the development of personality. Then the advanced man, he is the integrating personality tending towards the soul, and then the disciple initiate. This chart is not laid out exactly the way my chart is laid out, because I develop six strict categories, and I separate the discipleship category from the initiate category. Here, disciple and initiate are put together, and what the disciple begins to do in terms of recognition and work with the plan, the initiate completely accomplishes and uses the will. But this is the general paradigm that I have been using. Okay, so if we get back to this, Let's just say that Jupiter is the ruler here in the first decanate, and so is Venus. So is there is for the discipleship individual coming under Mercury in general, where the divine ideas are touched and the intuition is beginning to register, and the new ideas which must descend into human life are beginning to register. We have under Jupiter a growing sense of the all-embracing one life, because we know how inclusive Jupiter can be, and it always brings things together and embraces the whole. Now we come next. Okay, so you know, and sea, the sea monster is found here, but in this case, the sea monster is not swallowing the consciousness of the soul. Quite otherwise, the consciousness is embracing all of the factors, even the lower factors which Cetus represents. Cetus is in this way the soul capable of devouring all levels of consciousness and including it within itself. We can reverse even such a symbol as the Cetus, the sea monster. It doesn't mean only one thing, because many high individuals can be born in that first decanate. It doesn't mean they're all subject to the lower aspect of the sea monster. By the way, I want to say, with respect to these constellations, that all of them apply to every Aries individual. Some of us, in working with esoteric astrology, have attempted to take three constellations and assign them to the decanates. Well, that is a reasonable thing to do, but we should not be too cut and dried and too exclusive. Every Aries individual has the sea monster, the enthronement of matter, and the champion or hero in him. Although there is a tendency, when you look at the rulers, to want to assign one of the constellations to each one of the decanates, and perhaps that can be somewhat successfully done. But in a larger sense, we should bear in mind that each of these three extra zodiacal constellations applies to every Aries individual, and so forth for the other signs as well. A lot of work on this has been done by Nicholas Nilén, who made various assignments of the extra zodiacal constellations to the three decanates. And Stephen Pugh has done a lot of excellent work on the decanates. We all have our points of agreement and disagreement, and I'll just try to justify mine. But you know, you'll have to get into it yourself. Now, in the for the disciple or the soul under Aries, you know, in general, we're having unselfish, directed personality effort, which is aiming at the recognition and work with the divine plan and cultivating the will. You saw how here we had for the disciple initiate recognition and work with the plan and the will. Well, the disciple is cultivating that, is coming increasingly under soul consciousness. In the second decanate, there is that sun identification. So I say here that the individual has the potential of identifying as the soul-infusing personality, and there is increasingly fuller revelation of the soul on its own plane, which fits with the illuminative power of the sun. Finally, we enter the third decanate, where a battle is supposed to occur, both for the disciple and the initiate, and probably also for the aspiring personality. This is seen by me as a mentally focused battle to be rid of glamour and illusion. A person is becoming, as it were, Perseus. Here, the person is becoming Cassiopeia, but it is not just matter that it is enthroned. It is the sense of soul consciousness which is increasingly enthroned. And in the third decanate, then, the Perseus decanate, there is a battle upon the plane of mind to be rid of glamour and illusion so that the soul can shine fourth. Over here, for the aspiring personality, a little in the earlier stages, I have some other things stated, and I'll have to decide whether I go through all of this, because technically we're supposed to be discussing what the Tibetan has said, and I know some of this is my own, based upon what he has said. Now we get into the initiatic or monadic stage, and we're definitely under Uranus at this point, and we're treading some of the final burning grounds. We're, you know, getting ready for the third initiation here, or have passed it, getting ready for the fourth, or are beyond it, and Uranus ruling the final burning ground will give us, in general, and for all Aries people born at this time, selfless directed effort of the soul-infused personality which has achieved integration and work with the plan. So we are definitely here receiving archetypal ideas under Uranus, not just good ideas, not just ideas coming through under Mercury, but we're receiving the real thing from the world of being. We've given up ourself, and our will is very much identified with the divine will and plan and as much of the purpose as we can bring through. Uranus and archetypal purpose are very closely related. So here in the first decanate, which is ruled by Jupiter, Venus, the Venus part, the soul is shining forth, and the Jupiter part, reflecting the positive part of Cetus, we are engulfed by the one life, and we are in this vast unitive first triadal and then monadic consciousness. So I will say, first triadal and then monadic. When we're in the sun decanate, we're identified as the soul-infused personality as an expression of the triad or spirit, and there is increasing revelation of the monad. The monad can stand for the sun, the triad can stand for the sun, the higher ego can stand for the sun, so we are in a strong fullness of soul consciousness. In none of this are we yet speaking of taking the fourth degree. We're holding ourselves below the fourth degree. I think that's wise, because we cannot speculate too much about what might occur beyond that point. And finally, in the Perseus decanate, I call it that, even though, you know, as I said, all these meanings of Cetus, Cassiopeia, and Perseus apply to every Aries individual, but in the end, Mars is the final, indicating the final battle. And we have the victory in battle with illusion. The jungle of illusion, the jungle of experience dissolves in flames. Even that is happening under Mercury. And the path stands free. Let's see what that exact quote is. I want to... The jungles of experience. Yes. Jungles, J-U-N-G-N, jungles. There's only one. The jungles of experience are set on fire and dissolve in flames, and then the path stands clear and unobstructed vision is achieved. That's the full quotation, and it's a very beautiful one. The jungles of experience are set on fire and dissolve in flames, and then the path stands clear and unobstructed vision is achieved. So there is a final, a conquest with illusion. There is a battle with the dweller going on here, and all the illusory aspects of the dweller are contended with. Perhaps there is not a complete victory, although I think in any sign a person can achieve very close to that complete victory. Well, you know, I've kind of plunged into this a bit. I have a lot here. But as I say, I think we're most interested in the stage on the reversed wheel, the counterclockwise wheel, the wheel of consciousness, which will be occurring under the esoteric and hierarchical rulers, so therefore in Aries under Mercury, for two stages, which I call aspirational personal, integrating under the soul, and disciplic soul, and hierarchical for the initiate and the monad. I didn't really say much about the person who is integrating the personality and having it, seeking for it to respond to the soul, but I will say a little, because I think I should. We must recognize under Jupiter for 0 to 10 degrees, we have to recognize the way the form devours the consciousness, and we must seek to expand our consciousness and grow beyond it by expanding the soul awareness. Now, either Jupiter or Venus would suit here. Remember that the way we have it, according to the Tibetan, that Jupiter and Venus are the rulers of the first decanate on the wheel of consciousness, Sun the second and Mars the third. That's how the Tibetan gives it. And he suggests that Alan Leo has given Venus as the ruler, but what I find is that it's Safariel that has done that. So I don't know, there's some kind of reversal going on there. But either one will do. Venus and Jupiter both relate to the causal body. Venus is relating to the growing quality within the causal body, and its beauty, and its loving magnetism. And Jupiter is relating in general to the expansion of the causal consciousness. The Sun is related to illumination and to enlightenment in general, and Mars, as we know, to conflict, and he tells us the initiate climaxes his work within any sign with a battle. So, okay, going on here, yes, I have to go back and forth. So in the aspirational or higher personal or integrating under the soul stage, we do have Mercury, and we have what the Tibetan calls directed personality effort, but it's towards being unselfish. We have to try to become the unselfish personality, and it's so easy for Aries people to be self-centered and have their eye strictly upon their own activities and energies. So in the Jupiter-Venus decanate, we are recognizing how the form usually devours consciousness. We want to grow beyond it, and we want the soul to shine. When we're in the Sun decanate, which we have been associating with Cassiopeia, we are identified here as consciously as an aspirant, and we're having the higher self, which is also a sun, revealed. And we are striving towards the higher self. We know how much striving power is found in Aries. Finally, Mars is the ruler for those born in the last 20 to 30 degrees, and we have an aspirational fighting to be free of illusion. We aspire, we seek to battle our illusions, sometimes not possessed of our full mental capacities, which are much stronger for the disciples. So I think you get the idea here. And you know, since you do have this on your screen, you can freeze your screen at any time and simply study what I've said, which is certainly not the complete story by any means. You can study what I've said about the first, second, and third decanate on the wheel of consciousness. And you know, just to go up a little bit, if you want to freeze the screen here, you can study what I've said about the Lemurian, Atlantean, and Aryan, early Aryan stages of consciousness, and how the different constellations and planets working in a more personal, elemental manner can affect the individual. Just freeze your screen and study it, or print it or copy it, you know, something of that nature. Okay, well, this has been sort of my unexpected plunge into this decanate work, and the reason it was unexpected, in a way, DK began talking about the decanates a little bit earlier in Aries than he does in the other signs, where he seems to leave it towards the end. And for that reason, I was taken a little by surprise, so had to excuse a few of the glitches in the beginning of the discussion. I wanted to take out the material that I have on the decanates. I've thought about this long and hard, maybe not as long and hard as some have thought about it, but it is an important sub-qualifier, this question of the decanates. We all may know, let's say we're born in Aries, or with the sun in Aries, or under Aries with Aries rising, but what section of Aries are we born in? And there's even a way to make day faces and night faces of each one of the decanates. So on the wheel, which is going counterclockwise, the first 5 degrees would be the day face, and the second 5 degrees would be the night face. I need to study a little bit more about that, but it seems that one is more expressive and one is more internal or introverted. And thus it goes for the second decanate, from 20 to 25, day face, from 25 to 30, the night face. And similarly for the third decanate, from 10 to 15 in the second decanate is the day face, and 15 to 20 the night face. Then in the third decanate, from 20 to 25 is the day face, and then from 25 to 30 the night face. So much experiment needs to be done there, as well as work with the Dwadashamsas, or Dwads, D-W-A-D-S, whereby we divide the zodiac of 12 into the 30 degrees of any sign and get 2.5 degree sections, 1 2.5 degree sections for every zodiacal increment of the sign. So 0 to 2.5 degrees is Aries, Aries. 2.5 degrees to 5 is Aries, Taurus. You get the idea, right? 5 degrees to 7.5 degrees is Aries, Gemini, and so forth. So that is also a sub-qualifier. It can begin to zero in to the specific type of energy which has built the form of any Aries individual, and so it goes for the other signs. Always beginning with the sign itself. There's different ways of doing it. For instance, if you begin with Taurus, from 0 to 2.5 degrees would be Taurus, Taurus. And from 2.5 degrees to 5 would be Taurus, Gemini, and eventually you get around at the very last decanate to Taurus, sub, Aries. But some people always begin with Aries, and that would be another way of operating. We have to test that out, of course. The final method of refining and discriminating very minute differences between individuals would be through a study of the degrees themselves, because each one of the 360 degrees, at least according to the ancient Chaldean knowledge, would have its own specific quality. And then each degree can be approached numerologically, so there are a number of the different types of degrees in the zodiac which add up to a 1 or to a 2 or to a 3, and they all would have something in common. So this is a more mathematical approach to discriminating the fine points of identity. Okay, well, I hope I haven't, been too confusing here. I think I've finally got into the subject, and here you can have a snapshot, if you will, of this decanate chart, where we see the extra zodiacal constellations, Aries, Aries sub Leo in orange, Aries sub Sagittarius in this rich blue color. Then we have Cetus, Cassiopeia, Perseus. We have the names of these constellations and what they are. And then we have the Wheel of Consciousness, and then the Wheel of Form, as we reverse the decanate order of on the Wheel of Consciousness. Here are some of the things that Nicholas Nilén has said. He is agreeing in general here. And here are the Alan Leo decanates, and here are the Sapphireal decanates. I really don't know why there has been that reversal. I haven't ever read Alan Leo speaking about Venus as the ruler of one of the decanates, but I'm certainly willing to learn. And I don't have the book immediately at my disposal. Maybe it is in his esoteric astrology book. I'm not sure. But let's read one more time what the Tibetan has said, because he is the authority here. The decanates can be dealt with in two ways according to the direction in which a man is traveling upon the wheel and therefore entering the sign, speaking in symbols. In other words, entering from 30 to 20 as an average individual and going apparently backwards in the clockwise manner, or entering from 0 to 10 when on the counterclockwise wheel and going on the Wheel of Consciousness. If he enters Aries when on the Common Cross, he will come under the influence of the Mars, the Sun, and Jupiter, according to Sifaril. Now, you know, here is the problem. You know, Sifaril is obviously not counting the decanates backwards. He's counting the decanates in strict order. He is only thinking of every sign as progressing from 0 to 30 degrees, and not from 30 degrees to 0 degrees. So then, do we put Mars in the 0 to 10 degrees, and Jupiter or Venus in the 20 to 30 degrees? Or do we do, as the Tibetan suggests, take the early ruler, the first ruler, and assign it to the 20 to 30 degrees section, and the last ruler on the wheel of form, assign that to the 0 to 10 degrees section? So there are some ambiguities here, and this has to be worked out. The red Venus is my own there, because of the way Sifaril usually proceeds. This means conflict, revelation, and successful satisfaction of desire and ambition as the eons pass away. And that, you know, that makes perfect sense. We understand why DK assigns these qualities to these planets. When he reorients himself and mounts the fixed cross, he comes under the influence... of Jupiter, the Sun, and Mars. Now that's in the ordinary, reversed wheel progression on the wheel of consciousness. Now it's a little strange because, you know, normally you would think that Mars would be the ruler of the first decanate, which is sub Aries, and Jupiter the ruler of the third decanate, which is sub Sagittarius. But the Tibetan changes this, so he really puts Jupiter in the first decanate. He comes under the influence of Jupiter, the Sun, and Mars. For the initiate and the disciple culminates his career in any of the signs with a final and dominant struggle, in a struggle to dominate lower forces and fight. Now, here is the unusual statement. I would here remark that Alan Leo had a glimpse of the inner significance of the decanates when he assigned Mars, the Sun, and Venus to the three decanates. Well, maybe he did, and I'm no one to doubt the Tibetan, but I remember it otherwise, and I know that Sifaril would be working with Venus in the third decanate, because he always proceeds inward towards the geocentric Earth according to the length of the period of the planet involved, including the Sun. So the way that Sifaril proceeds is outward, starting with the outermost, none of the trans-Saturnian planets. He starts with Saturn, then he goes to Jupiter because it's a smaller orbit and takes less time. Then he goes to Mars, a still smaller orbit and less time. Then he goes to the Sun, which geocentrically has a period of 1 year, whereas Mars has a period of 2 years from the geocentric perspective. Then from Mars, he skips the Earth and goes to Venus. Then he goes to Mercury. Then he goes to the Moon. And that is in order of the orbital periods. So when we're looking, you know, don't want to beat a dead horse here, but I tend to do so, when he is offering these decanates, Mars would be a longer orbit than the Sun, and Venus, not Jupiter, would be the longer orbit, or would be the shorter orbit. So Mars is longer than the Sun is longer than Venus, but the Sun's orbit from the geocentric perspective is not longer than that of Jupiter, and that's what the Tibetan says he has chosen. Whereas I do remember that Alan Leo really chose Mars, Sun, and Jupiter, and not Mars, Sun, and Venus. So that has to be worked out, but I don't think there's any loss there. The idea here is that Venus represents the solar angel, and when the man is no longer mental and lower personal, he's becoming aspirational and higher personal, and integrating under the soul, he's turning around, and Venus, as the solar angel, with its power, is coming into focus, and the man is orienting himself towards Venus. Even though Venus is in detriment in Aries, it seems to be quite important in this first area, this first degree, first 10 degrees, because there is a reorientation. Remember that according to the Tibetan, if we go to page 472 and we look at crises, we will find the crisis of the soul, that Aries, in fact, does rule a crisis of orientation and a kind of reversal, where man begins to face the soul. The soul is Venus, and when we look at the decanates here for the aspirational higher personal man, we are reorienting towards the soul. We are bringing in the new ideas under Mercury in general, and we are reorienting towards the soul, which is always symbolized by Venus, the solar angel. So we're seeking to grow beyond the form. That's the Jupiter part of it. And the Venus, and under Venus, we reorient towards the energy of the solar angel. Okay, and I think that's fair enough. Now, you'd have to test this out in your own life, obviously. The way to do it is experiment with the energies and just see which of these energies seem to be sub-rulers for you in a decanate sense. And maybe more than one will come in. You should look at the sub-sign of the triplicity in which you are born. You should look at the ruler of the sub-sign, usually the orthodox ruler. You should definitely, since you are on the wheel of consciousness, look at the ruler of the decanate which the Tibetan has assigned when it differs from what Alan Leo has given, or on occasion what Safariel has given, when the Tibetan accepts Safariel's as the best expression. Whoa, okay, I got into something here that I didn't know I would get into, but hopefully there's some clarity there, and that you can see the charts on your screen and you can understand what I'm attempting to drive at. This is not as complete, of course, as it could be or would be, but I don't want to get excessively tedious about this because we're trying to move through the books, and it looks like it's going to take, 300 of these programs to do that anyway. Maybe more, hopefully not. All right, friends, let us do the great invocation together, as we always do. All right. So we begin with the Om. Om. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Om. Okay, friends, we have reached the point almost exactly. And I guess we haven't gone very far in the process here. I guess we are simply, we've simply dealt with one paragraph and attempted to expand that paragraph. If I can get my computer to function here properly, we are ending then Esoteric Astrology Adventure. Okay, this is the, well, it's coming. No, I thought it was. I thought it was, well, it seems to be operating in an interesting manner. Yes, okay. So basically, we are simply ending at the page we began. And I will straighten all this out. I'm not going to take your time here to get these page numbers correct. So, for the time being, my computer is doing strange things. All right. We will talk to you soon, and we start with number 50 very soon. All right. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.